Okay. Anyway, today we're gonna pray for the children of the ministry, and that I know that their breakthroughs are coming, and I'm so excited. I'm so excited for when they do. We see those breakthroughs come forth.
Amen.
So, yeah, amen. So I want to, today we'll pray for the children and then we'll move into our teaching. And
Can I add
yep.
Noah to the list of kids as well too?
Who?
Noah, it's my grandson.
What's going on?
Well, he just seems to be slower,
Okay.
and I think he may have been born before the time that I had alerted her about the vaccine, so I don't know.
Oh, so it could be vaccine related.
I don't
Okay.
know. It's not as severe, but
Let's pray
acting
then.
up,
I mean, we'll pray.
a lot in communication, and yeah.
How old is he?
I think he is 3.
Okay. Ken, were you gonna say
Yeah.
add something?
Let's add Jonathan, Jacob's brother, to that list too. His dyslexia has really caused him a lot of problems in school. And Lauren is very frustrated. We were by there last night after we helped Amelia move into her new house, and then we left and went by Lauren's house, and she has a high pressure job here in town. She's at the Chamber of Commerce, and she's having trouble with Jacob and Jonathan, and so we were going by to get the boys today and spend some time with them. But Jonathan's dyslexia is, I mean, it's already held him back one grade in school, and now he's really struggling again. And so I don't know. We have a dyslexia program that Tina, Debbie's sister, was teaching. But the thing about it is, with Lauren's job, it's really difficult for her to get Jacob to these times and kind of help oversee that. So just let's put Jonathan down for dyslexia.
All right.
It's been bad, but what happens is the material moves on in school, he's not able to keep up with it.
Right.
That's just
Right.
kind of where it is. Real serious, because I think that Lauren's about at the place she wants to pull her hair out. I mean,
Okay.
it's that intense.
I'm so sorry.
So let's just add him to the kids too, if we could.
Sure, absolutely. So.
We're gonna do whatever we can do. Debbie doesn't have the time. Where we're at right now, Deb just doesn't have the time to go get everything Tina's got, because Tina went through classes for this
I
for
remember that.
a year or something, and we're gonna try to get Tina back involved and see how we can do whatever we can do to offset this in whatever way we can do that. But we actually consider pulling Jonathan out of public school and try to put him in a private school. I'm just not sure we can afford that. And I want to do it. I just financially, I don't think we're at a place we can do that right now. So that's kind of the dilemma around that, just to let you know.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, yeah, we'll definitely add both Noah and. Now, how old is Jonathan?
Jonathan is 9.
9, okay. And Noah is around 3. All right. Okay. So we'll be sure to add both of them to that.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Breakthroughs are coming. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, amen.
All right, so no, it's 10 after, but we need to get started, and I'm missing a couple people, but they usually trickle in. Sorry, I dropped my phone. Do I have a volunteer to lead us in Psalm 91 today?
Good morning.
Thank you. Sometimes I make that call out there, and I figure if we were in a classroom, that, you know, everybody's eyes would start looking
That's
up
right.
or to the side, so they don't actually make eye contact with me.
You're looking at the floor.
Yep. Oh, I dropped something. Let me pick it up. I can't be called on. All right. So thank you, Pastor Matt. Go ahead and get us started.
Thank you, Father. Thank you again for this glorious opportunity that you give to us. How we praise your glorious name for your kindness and your goodness and your mercy and your love. We thank you, Father. You're faithful. We thank you. We just give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory today. But truly, this is the day that you have made. You made it. You provided for us. You've given us this opportunity that we can come and humble ourselves before you, Lord. So we thank you that there's a place for us as we come around your throne. Lord, as we just kneel before thee, we just honor you again for all that you've been doing and all the marvelous works of your hand in Jesus' name. Says he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, I will say of the Lord, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Surely, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence, and shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. A thousand may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all of his ways. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, and the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he set his love upon me, therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I, says the Lord, will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Thank you, Lord. Shara Maborise Kate. Me Ayaro Shana Maria say. You are good, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. As we read Ephesians 6:4, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your ways with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all saints.
Yeah,
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your scripture, Lord, that says that as the Lord, that you know the thoughts that you have for us, O Lord, for good and not for evil, to give our children a future and a hope. O Lord God, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you have thoughts for good and that you're planning for good, that you are making ready for good for our children. Oh, Lord, to give them a future and a hope. Oh, God in heaven, thank you, Lord God in heaven. Thank you for the future and the hope, Lord. Thank you, Father, because things will not stay, Lord. The breakthrough is coming for our children. The breakthrough is coming. Thank you for the breakthrough. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the process, Lord, for those that are older. Thank you that they will also have breakthrough. Thank you, Lord, that faith will have breakthrough, that grace will have breakthrough, that Daniel will have breakthrough, that David will have breakthrough. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that Jonathan will have breakthrough, that Noah will have breakthrough, that Callie will have breakthrough. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And it won't be just a breakthrough for the kids. It'll be breakthrough for the parents. Oh, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Breakthrough for all of these kids, all those, Lord, that have any disability or learning disability or dyslexia, and for little John, Lord God, thank you for breakthrough for little John. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you set everything in order in the brain. Thank you, Father, that you cause things to be made aright in the brain. Oh, Lord, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for connecting where it needs to be connected. Thank you for connecting the different areas of the brain that work in social situations, that the different areas of the brain that order the process of speaking and seeing, so that things would be in the right order. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, to take away the confusion. In the Jesus' name, we bind the spirit of confusion that would twist in Jesus' name. In dyslexia, we bind that spirit of twisting in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for setting things in order. We thank you, Lord God, for making these kids free. Lord, your truth. Let your truth come, Lord, and make them free. Oh, Lord, come, Spirit of truth. Come, Spirit of truth, and set the house in order. Set everything in order in all these kids. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you glory. Lord, we thank you that it's not a long way off. It's not years off, Lord. Thank you for the soon manifestation of your healing virtue, the soon manifestation of the sons of God, the soon manifestation of the Melchizedek priesthood that would come and that would usher in, O Lord, a new day. O Lord, a new day. Thank you, Lord, a transformation. Thank you, Lord, in these kids. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. A new breed of believers. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that would walk as you called us to walk, O Lord. Thank you for raising up Dylan to walk. Thank you for raising him up, Lord. Thank you for strengthening his legs. Thank you for releasing the nervous system to operate and function properly in his legs, in his loins, in his feet, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing everything into alignment physically and mentally and psychologically. Thank you for preparing him. Thank you for making him ready, Lord. Thank you for giving him faith, Lord God, even in his little heart, Lord. Give him faith, O Lord, that would increase, that would have expectancy for good things. Thank you for the machine, Lord, that is helping with the organs to keep them functioning properly. Lord, it's a temporary situation. It's just temporary. It's just to help temporarily until things are made aright. Thank you, Lord, that you're not the God of the almost, but you're the God of the impossible. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're the miracle-working God. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Minister to Jacob, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you completely open up his breathing passages, that he would not have any more restrictions in his breathing. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for removing asthma. We say to you, asthma, be gone. Asthma, go, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, even though Connor is grown up, Lord, he's still Ricky's little boy, Lord God. And we just thank you, God, in heaven for healing him. Thank you for healing asthma and causing it to be removed from him, Lord, giving him free breathing. Lord, that it would be a revelation of your love, of your the things that you have for him that are good, to give him a future and a hope. Thank you, Lord, that it would be a revelation of his mother's prayers for him. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father, it would cause a turning in his life even towards you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for healing Angela's head, Lord God. Thank you for taking away oppression, depression. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, for removing any pressure. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for healing Callie. Thank you, Lord, that chromosome that's partially missing, Lord. Thank you that you recreate it, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, that you recreate it, Lord. It doesn't make any difference that it wasn't there at one time, Lord, because you're the God of creation. Thank you, Lord, that you come and intervene. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for healing Brianna, Lord God. Thank you for 100% hearing. Thank you for freedom from the wrong voices. Thank you that you cause her to hear your voice, Lord. Thank you that you lead her and guide her in the way to go. Instruct her. Give her assurance. Give her confidence. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for assurance and for confidence for Casey. Thank you, Lord, for healing her. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving her a trust in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for removing anything, Lord, that has been affected or impacted through trauma. Lord, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, that you set things in order in her emotions, Lord. Thank you that you set everything in order in her thinking, Lord God. Thank you that you cause her to know that she's fearfully and wonderfully made and that you love her with an unconditional love. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you cause Angela to know that you love her with an unconditional love. Thank you, Father, that you set things in order. Thank you, Lord, that you take away those lies of the enemy. Thank you, Lord, for all of our children. Remove the lies and cause them to know the love that is perfect towards them, the love that holds them, the love that keeps them, the love that watches over them. Lord, through their parents and also through you, Lord, that they are not alone, that they have great things in the future to be coming in store for them, things that are a wonder, things that are awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you heal any woundings, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you heal any woundings deep in the spirit, Lord, or in the soul, Lord God, that have been used by the enemy to lie. Oh, God in heaven, thank you, Lord, that you show the truth to them, that the plans that you have for them are for good, to give them a future and a hope. Hope. Thank you for restoration of hope. Thank you for vision of the truth. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are the God of the impossible, that you are the God of creation, that you are the God of the breakthrough. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your arm is not too short, that you cannot save, and your ear is not too dull, that you cannot hear. Oh, Lord God, you're just waiting for us to call upon you. It says, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that salvation is the children's bread. Healing is the children's bread. It's the same thing. It's all incorporated in what you paid for on the cross and on the whipping post. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father, that the provision is already made. Lord, bring us into the place and bring these children into the place where we can receive that. We stand with them. We stand. We stand. We stand with them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We sever, we cut off anything that would try to hold them back in the name of Jesus Christ. We cut it off. We sever it in Jesus' name. And we release, Lord, what you have in store for them, what you have planned for them. We cut off the things of the world, the effects of the world, the influences of the world, and we release, oh Lord, what you have for them in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Let's take time for one more person to pray, please.
God, we come before you right now in Yeshua's name, God. God, we lift up faith and grace in David, Lord. God, would you come, Lord? Would you touch them, Lord? God, I thank you, Lord, for the Jubilee revival, God, that you're getting ready to pour forth, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
God, with all the things you're going to do to heal the children and those that are those that have maladies, that are sick. God, I thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. God, we're believing you, Lord, for help and wholeness, Lord. God, we're believing you, God, for a testimony of your goodness. And Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing in that hour. Lord, I thank you for the testimony that it'll be, Lord, that they have overcome autism, Lord. I just thank you, Lord. I pray the same thing for little John, Lord. God, I ask that you touch him even now, Lord, and touch them even now, Lord. Lord, that they would be the first fruits, Lord, because, Lord, we have given ourselves, Lord, to prayer and given ourselves to intercession for them, Lord. Come and do it, Lord. Come and do it, God. God, we lift up Jacob and Jonathan, Lord. Touch Jacob's body, Lord. Touch him and help him, Lord. God, come and remove any blockage or asthma in his body, Lord. Just eradicate it, God, from his body. God, Jonathan, Lord, come and he's a bright young man. He gets bored with things real easy in the sense of he's smart, but this dyslexia is setting him back from being able to do things the way the school and the curriculum does it. So I ask that you would come, Lord. God, make a way for him where there is no way, Lord. Like John said, Lord, straighten out what's twisted here, Lord. I ask that you would do that, Lord. I ask that you would come. God, we lift Dylan up before you, Lord. God, we thank you for Dylan, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the machine that he was able to get. And, Lord, he's on that machine now. And it's helping his organs. But, God, that's just a temporary thing because you're going to raise him up. You're going to lift him up out of that wheelchair, and he's going to walk and be a testimony of your grace and your mercy, Lord. He has such a sweet spirit, Lord. And, God, you're going to use that in such a mighty way, and I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing there, Lord. God, we lift up Callie, John's granddaughter, Lord. We ask that you just touch her, Lord. And, God, place back in that missing partial chromosome, Lord. God, that she would be totally and completely healed by your glory, Lord. Come and do that, Lord. God, we lift up Connor, Lord, and we ask, Lord, that you would touch his respiratory system. Come and do it, Lord, and make it whole, Lord. God, so he doesn't struggle with asthma, Lord. God, I thank you for Casey, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, that you're working behind the scenes in her and things that we can't see. But God, you're working to bring her to that place of the young lady she is. And not only that, Lord, but to the place of her calling. And she's going to respond to that, Lord. And I thank you for that. I thank you that you're doing it your way and your time. And Lord, there's nowhere we can go to get away from you. If we go to the depths of the sea, you're there. If we go to the outer reaches of the universe, you're there. So there's nowhere, God, we can go to get away from you. And God, I thank you, Lord, that you pursue us, that you love us, and you pursue us, and you pursue our family members, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you know how to bring them to you, and you know how to set that in place in a way that they will be there for the rest of their lives in that place of seeking you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. God, we lift Shawnee up to you, Lord. We bless you for Shawnee's life. We thank you for what you worked in her life and what you're working in her life and what you're establishing, God. God, we ask that you would come and do this, Lord. We ask that you would come and do this. And I think I'm missing one here. No, Lord, we lift up Noah. And God, we ask that you touch him, Lord, and you cause your spirit just to come down over him, Lord, and to touch his development process, Lord. Bring him forth, Lord, in this hour, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to work on behalf of all of our children, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that there will be a day not too far from now, God, when we will rejoice for the miracles that you've done for our children, Lord. And God, it'll not only speak to them, but it'll speak to the people that they can reach in this hour. God, you're getting ready to do huge miracles like we've never ever seen on this side of heaven, Lord. And I thank you for what you're doing. God, we just ask you to come now, Lord. We ask you to not hold back, Lord, to come now and do these things that's on your heart. God, the earth is crying out for you to come, Lord, for the sons of God to be manifest. And God, I thank you for what you're doing in this hour. God, we bless you and we honor you in Yeshua's name.
Thank you, Father God. I thank you. I thank you, Father God. I thank you for the children. I thank you, Lord God, for the breakthroughs that we're about to see come forth on behalf of our children, on behalf of our families. I thank you, Father God, for what you've revealed to us. I thank you for every dream, for every vision, for every word that's been released on behalf of our children. And we lay those before you, Lord God, that we will see those promises come to pass. Our children will see those promises come to pass. And when they are on the other side of these trials, not just trials for them, but trials for us, Lord God, we can lay down those promises and say, look what God has done for you. And it will be a testimony of the power of the living God into their lives, into their friends' lives, into all who they touch in the future, Lord God. The impact of their testimony will reach far and wide. I thank you, Father God. I thank you that we will see the fulfillment of those promises. I thank you. When you pull back that veil, Lord God, and your light comes through, oh, Lord God, the revelation that will come forth Jesus, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the impartation of yourself in our children. I thank you that when they experience the breakthrough, those impartations will come forth into the body of Christ and bring freedom. 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 To both young and old, freedom. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. Pray for our children as I just release them before Him and the promises. I see the Spirit moving forth from our children. I see it. I see them coming from a place of what seems to be darkness or silence. And I see the breakthrough that takes place and the impact of those around them, the impact of their lives on those around them. It's beyond comprehension. It's beyond description. And for some, there's revelation being imparted. And I know it's being imparted in little John. I know it. Because every time I pray for him, I see the impartation taking place. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you love our children. We think we can love them more than anyone, but the truth is you love them. Far more than we could ever possibly love them. And your plan and purposes in their lives will come forth. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for reminding us of the promises to come. Thank you. Lord, I lay before you our time of teaching as we press into your word. As we press in to your word, I ask that you bring forth the revelation for this hour, that you bring forth the teaching, the training that we need to prepare us for the days ahead. There is a deep refining taking place. And for those who submit themselves to that refining, the revelation that will be imparted, the anointing, the mantle, all that will be imparted into their lives because they've allowed you to refine us, Lord God. Because we've allowed you to refine us. It'll be unmatched in the body of Christ. So as we study your word, I ask that you bring forth that which we need. Bring forth an understanding. Bring forth revelation. Bring forth insight. Bring forth all that your word is designed to bring forth. Do it, Lord, in us. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you. I thank you that you have blessed us with your word. I thank you that you've blessed us with your Spirit to teach us, to train us, to prepare us. And as humans, as we fumble along, your Spirit is there to help us through, develop and mature us. To the mature sons and daughters of God that you're calling forth in this hour. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I Thank you. In your precious and holy name. Amen. The refining has begun. The refining process is not easy. What does refining do? It gets out the impurities. You know, we've got refining companies all over the world, and their goal is to get out impurities and produce a product that is usable, that is safe, we hope. When we go for gold and silver, you know, that product that we get is refined. It's heated up, and depending on the level of refining that's done on it, for example, gold, the greater the refining process, the hotter the fire, the purer the product. And if you have a product that is so refined, you can actually take hold of that piece of gold and press into it and make an imprint with your fingernail. Because it's so refined, it doesn't actually harden. So many of the impurities have been removed. It doesn't harden. If we were strong enough, we could press into that gold with our thumb and get a fingerprint. I think, Lord, that's what you are trying to do in each of us. You were trying to refine us. You were trying to clean out of us the impurities so that when you press into us, we bear your fingerprint. We're so malleable that you can make your mark in our lives. In this condition, we find ourselves, I mean, it's a hard process to get to. I think we're all in process. We find ourselves walking through the fire. We find ourselves facing difficulties. Absolutely. But there's something to be done through this process. And even in the midst of fires, even in the midst of going through unimaginable difficulties. You know, God doesn't say, I'm going to make your life miserable so I can use you. We say, use me. Leave your mark on my life. I lay myself before you to be refined by you. And when we do this, we have given him permission to take hold of our lives, to work out of us the things that inhibit a pure relationship with him, things that would prevent him from being able to press into us and leave his mark upon our lives. We give him permission for this. There are different levels of Christians. There are those that will get saved. They may pray every day or read their Bible every day, and they're just going to live their life in that place of, you know, contentment where they're at. And the depth of their relationship with God is based on that contentment. There's those that will press into God. There's those that will, I want more of you. I want deeper things. I want the mysteries. The mysteries of who you are, the revelation of who you are. I want your fingerprint to rest upon me, Lord. And when we avail ourselves to this, he strives to honor that request. We've been studying Romans for some time. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been studying what it means to be a member of the body of Christ. What it means to be a member of the body of Christ, an active member of the body of Christ. Last week, we studied about the gifts of God, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and the grace that is extended to us to function in that capacity. He will never ask us to do that which he has not given us the grace to do. He's never going to ask a prophet to be a prophet without giving them the grace to be a prophet. He's never going to ask a teacher to be and to go out and teach without giving them the grace to do so. A grace is what we need to accomplish that which God has called us to accomplish. So in Romans 12, Paul's talking about the many members and the different offices that we will fill as the body of Christ. And we learned some things about the Spirit of God. We learn some things about his plans and his purposes and how he will use us. In 1 Peter 4, we saw that each member receives a special gift to employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Speaking as one who is giving the utterances of God, serving in the strength that God provides. All of this is to be done unto the glory of God. All of this is to be done unto the glory of God. prophets are not to be prophets to gain a profit. Prophets are prophets because they release the word of the Lord to the glory of God, to the edification of the body of Christ. That's the purpose. They are the mouthpiece of God. Intercessors are the voice of God to the church. Because they seek his face. They spend time in the prayer closet. They spend time shutting out everything else and pressing into God for his will, his plans, his purposes. Their spirits stay in tune to the Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians 12, we learn that our gifts are the manifestation of the Spirit of God. Why? To unite the body of Christ into one body. Our gifts are the manifestation of the Spirit of God, meant to unite the body of Christ into one body. God has us in a place of refining right now. And at the end of this path, he is wanting a body of Christ that is united to come forth. Why is it so important for the body of Christ to be united? And I'm not talking about the unity movement. Please, let's just be clear about that. Because when the body of Christ functions in unity, the body of Christ. Remember, when Jesus came and he died and he rose again, he visited many, he visited the disciples, he appeared to many of the saints here on earth, and then he ascended into heaven and he told them, he go and wait. For the gift. Go and wait for the release of my spirit. We all know the story in Acts. The disciples go into the upper room and they wait. And they seek the face of God. And they pray and they pray and they await the gift that's been promised to them by Jesus their Lord. And at that appointed moment, the Holy Spirit is released into their lives. It's manifested through the speaking of tongues, but the Holy Spirit is released in them. So we have Jesus who walked with them and gave them an example of how to live a Spirit-filled life, how to live a life of perfection, not sinning, loving your brother, loving the sinner, fulfilling the law. Now we have the impartation of the Holy Spirit into our lives, which gives us that which we need to fulfill our call in the body of Christ, to fulfill our function in the body of Christ. He's not going to call us to do things and not give us the ability to fulfill it. That's not the type of God he is. And in this hour, he is calling us to do greater things than we've ever seen before. Why? Because it's not going to be done in our own strength. It's not going to be done in our own power. But if we are not empty vessels ready to be used by Him, refined and used by Him, His Spirit cannot flow through us. Because if we have not emptied ourselves out of who we are, our garbage, our impurities, if we have not allowed Him to do that work in us, as His Spirit moves through, we're going to grab hold of things. We're going to grab hold of the credit. The enemy is going to jump on that, and he's going to start filling us up with pride. And what does that do? That causes a kink in the body of Christ. It affects the body of Christ as a whole. We are called to walk in unity. In Ephesians, we studied Ephesians 4, but I'd like us to look briefly at Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 1, and I'm going to read 1 through 9. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you, Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by the revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery from which the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. The mysteries of God. This word mystery is anything that's hidden. Anything that is hidden. It's a mystery. It's a secret of which initiation is necessary. What is the initiation? Salvation. If we are going to understand the mysteries of God, we have to know God. We have to know Jesus as our Savior. And we have to have the impartation of the Holy Spirit into our lives. Because the revelation that comes forth through that impartation is beyond man's grasp. We cannot understand the mysteries of God without the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, this is the counsel of God, once hidden but now revealed in the gospel. The Christian revelation, particular truths or details of the Christian revelation. That's what the mysteries of God are. Revelation. So often I sit down and I read the word, I study the word, and I say, Lord, please give me revelation into your word. What did Mom tell us to do? Pray for discernment, understanding, wisdom, knowledge, revelation. These are things we are to pray for every single day. The more we press in, the more He reveals the secrets of the kingdom of God. In the Bible, mystery is not something that's unknowable. Rather, it's what can only be known through revelation. Why? Because God reveals it to us. Why does He do this? Does He do it for us? Personally? Yeah. But why else? Verse 9 of chapter 3 of Ephesians. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. It's released in Jesus Christ to all men. Verse 10, to the intent now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Okay, so in verse 10, to the intent means in order that now, which is present, unto the principalities and powers or authority in heavenly places might be known by the church to the manifold wisdom of God. The purpose of Him releasing the mysteries of God into His children who have pressed in is to release the manifold presence of God, the manifold wisdom of God. He imparts His gifts. He imparts His revelation. He imparts all that He imparts in each of us is for one purpose, and that is to release God into the people of the earth, to release an understanding of who God is, an understanding of what God has done for us, an understanding of who Jesus is, what His salvation means, who the Holy Spirit is, and what that means in each of our lives. When we allow Him to do the work in our lives and He imparts into us the mysteries of who He is, it's for the glory and the edification of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. This is what we are called to do. Paul says, now I want to remind you, he's talking about releasing the hidden things of God. He's talking about releasing the mysteries of who God is. He's talking about getting that message out, getting the truth out to the Gentiles in this hour while he's sitting in prison. In Rome. That's what he's doing. He is a prisoner in Rome, and he says in verse chapter 3, verse 1, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. He's a prisoner in Rome, but Paul never saw him as a prisoner, himself as a prisoner of man. He saw himself as a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He said, whether I'm hungry, it doesn't matter. If I'm full, it doesn't matter. If I'm cold, it doesn't matter. If I've got a place to sleep, it doesn't matter. All that matters is I am serving Jesus Christ to the fullness of what he's called me to do. He lived his life to press into God. Paul was created to receive the revelation and to release the revelation of God, of the intimacy of God. I want to remind you that up until the New Testament, there was not intimate relationship with God. We had a high priest who went into the Holy of Holies once a year after going through quite a lot of cleansing. And remember, we learned in our covenant study, if he didn't get it right, if the cleansing and the purification, if there was sin in his life, he could not come to God in a place of holiness and represent the people and stand in the presence of God. He had bells on his robe, and if they stopped ringing, that foot that was tied around his ankle, they dragged him out. They took that rope and they dragged him out of the Holy of Holies. Jesus came that we might enter the Holy of Holies ourselves. He is our covering. He is our cleansing. So now that Jesus has come, here we enter the New Testament, and we have brand new terms. We have spiritual, which we didn't see until Acts, when the Holy Spirit came in the upper room. We have church. And Paul has been created to release into the church, also known as the body of Christ, the revelation of the intimacies of God. So that each person who before would go to their high priest, and my goodness, Paul was sent to the Gentiles. He didn't even go to the high priest. And help them take God, a being they couldn't possibly approach, God their creator, and bring him into a place of actual relationship. Paul's writings are all about bringing forth relationship between man and God. Intimate, tender, I love you so much, I sent my son to die for you relationship. Because he wanted us to stop seeing God with our head and start experiencing him with our hearts, in our spirits, experience God. That's what Paul was created to do, release the intimacies, the love of God, the tenderness of God. In the Old Testament, what do we see? We see a God of war. When the people, the Gentiles, the non-Jews, thought of the Jews' God, they saw God as a God of war. When the Jews went into the land of milk and honey, they cleansed the land of the unbelievable sin that was taking place. Man had no fear of God. None whatsoever in that day. And I'm not talking about the Jews. I'm talking about those in the land. They were sacrificing their children to their gods. They were serving Satan, is what they were doing. And as we read the Old Testament, we read about the prophets, we read about the judgment of God, and until you really come to know Him intimately, experience Him, it's hard to even see the love of God through the Old Testament. Sure, in Psalms, it's all kinds of love. Song of Solomon, all kinds of love. All kinds of intimacy. But until we take God from our heads to our hearts, opening up our hearts to really experience the depth of the love of God, who would take a piece of Himself and send Him down here to die for us, and not only die quick and painless, that's not the death He experienced. It was a torturous death. And only after much, much suffering. Until we can take the God that's in our heads and take Him and put Him in our hearts and embrace the love of God, we cannot walk in the fullness of what we've been created to walk in. We go to our church buildings, we sit in our pews, we get our scripture read, we get a couple of cute little anecdotes, and we walk out, and that's the little piece of God that most quote-unquote Christians are experiencing today. But what God is about to release is a move of God that will take Him from the God of our heads to the God of our hearts, where He so indwells us with His presence that all we want to do is live for Him. We crave holiness because He is holy. We crave the purity of God because He is pure. We crave to extend the hand of fellowship to those in need because that's what He did. If we cannot demonstrate the love of God to the fullness that He demonstrated it to us, how can those outside our world, outside our little bubble even, see who He is and get saved? He is calling us to go deeper. He is calling us to be refined. He is calling us to rise up out of this and walk in the fullness. Enter into a place in Him where the fear of man, the fear of the elements, dissipates. Because what you are there to do is reflect God. Demonstrate the power and authority of God. The enemy thinks he has nearly won as darkness sweeps across our earth. Darkness seems to pervade every single nook and cranny. heaviness. At times seems to be rolling across the earth, and the enemy thinks he's won. But the power of the living God is about to arise in the name of Jesus. And he's about to flow across this earth and release his power in such a way that men will fall to their knees, whether they accept him or not. They will bow the knee to the living God. And we've got to be ready to carry the authority of the living God. We have to be ready to walk in the authority he's given us. We have to be refined, purified, walking in the love of God. Because that's what we are called to do. Ephesians 4:1 says, I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. What have you been called to do? What have you been called to do? Are you walking in a manner worthy of the call? This word called, this is a divine calling, an invitation, a divine invitation to embrace salvation in the kingdom of God. Are you walking worthy of the call to salvation? To walk. He says, I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. That word to walk is to regulate one's life, to conduct ourselves worthy, becoming or fitting, having a worth that matches the call. And what is the call? To salvation. Anything we do above and beyond that is only to edify the body. To encourage, to develop, to bring the body of Christ along. Are we walking in a manner that represents the call to salvation? Are we living a life of a person who understands what Jesus did for us? Who understands that the purpose of that was to bring forth intimacy with God, relationship with God? We talked about the bridal preparation a couple of weeks ago, the intimacy between husband and wife, the beauty of it. Are we walking in a manner worthy of a call to salvation? He could not release the Holy Spirit into this earth until his blood was shed for our sins. His blood paved the path for the release of the Holy Spirit. And what has the enemy sought to do? Because the Holy Spirit gives us strength. He's our teacher. He's our comforter. We function through the gifts of the Spirit only because the Holy Spirit's in us. And what has the enemy sought to do? Shut the Holy Spirit out of the church. because the enemy knows the power of the living God is in the Holy Spirit. And the enemy knows the blood of Christ. We have the impartation of the Holy Spirit. He knows the power and the authority that the children of God will walk in, and he must bow the knee to that authority. If we could grab hold of a true understanding of what we've been called to walk, where we've been called to walk, how we've been called to walk, it would change everything we did. Every day would be lived differently. We are to walk in the fullness of the calling. The new breed of believers on the other side. They will understand. God will no longer be in their head. He will be in their hearts. And he will be burning with a fire so great they won't be able to contain it. Their lives will reflect the fingerprint of God upon them. Everything they do what they say how they walk how they interact with their brother with their sister with the other members of the body of Christ will reflect the depth of understanding of what he did, who he is. Melchizedek is coming. That's what's coming. And everything that we set aside to be able to carry that mantle will pale in comparison to living the fullness, living in the fullness of what he's called us to walk in. Worthy. Of the call to salvation. Everything we do is to be done, remember. To preserve the unity of the Spirit. Everything we do is to bring us into a place of maturity. Ephesians 4. Seven, he says, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. That word according, and we studied it before, means to bring down from above. It's like bringing heaven in earth, God's will on earth. God's will as it is in heaven on earth. So to each of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. And what was his gift? The gift of his life and the release of the Spirit. And 9 through 13 goes on to share some of those practical applications of those gifts. But what is the purpose of it? 14 through 16 is about the maturity, so that we won't be children anymore, washed to and fro, falling victim to every doctrine that comes our way, holding on to the truth. The Bible says even the elect could fall away. Think about that. If we don't allow ourselves to be matured and strive for maturity in God, we will be deceived. Verse 14, and everything before that, this word as a result means so then, therefore. I've said all of this to you so that you understand the purpose of the body of Christ, of understanding grace, of understanding what unity in the faith means, is so that you are no longer children. Tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Maturity. You know, we think, wow, I've been saved for 10 years. Shouldn't I be mature yet? I've been saved for 30 years. Shouldn't I have reached maturity yet? Even Fred, who has walked with the Lord for decades, says he's got a long way to go. But I think when we come to an understanding that we have a long way to go, it drives us to press in. It drives us to press in, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Yesterday I was praying and the Lord gave me a vision. He gave me a vision of the function of and the flow of the body. And I saw he was standing on the earth, and a river was flowing out from his center. And this river would pour out across the earth Now the earth was just nearly blackened with that. Burned like a forest, really. But this river began to pour out across the earth from his belly. And it would go out across the earth, and it would come around, because it was him standing on the earth. So, you know, he was bigger than the earth. It was like us standing on a beach ball or something. And he began to, this river flowed out of him around the earth, and then it would come back to him and flow out. So there was this circle of this water. It would flow through him and out, back into him and out, back into him and out. And as this was taking place, life was growing in the earth. Life, this blackened earth, started to produce life. Vegetation was growing. Animals were flourishing. Birds were chirping. I mean, it was very vivid. Life comes forth from him. And as this river flowed out and came back to him, it gained the nutrients it needed to go back out across the earth and continue to nurture the earth. We are the body of Christ, and his spirit flows through us and is to bring forth life unto all we touch. But the key is that river continued to come back to the Lord for nourishment. We cannot do this in our own strength. We cannot do this without returning to him, because he is our source. He is the source of all we do. He is the reason we have life. He is the reason we are who we are today. He is the source. And if we don't return to the source on an ongoing basis, what comes out of us will cease to bring life. And I thought, wow. Lord, that was... wow. It shows our absolute dependence on him to fulfill and to walk out our salvation. And anything else we've been created to do. Everything we do stems from a true understanding of our salvation. The flow of the Spirit must continue on. Everything we do in his strength. Paul, as Mom has said, he was just a little guy, you know. But men feared him, because he walked in the power and the authority of God. Because God imparted the mysteries of intimacy into Paul. The Spirit of God functioned in him. He was created to release it and take the body of Christ into the next level in God. Personal intimacy with God. And he knew we would need it to make it through these times. This is a year of refining. You know, and I thought about that over the last week. I thought, Lord, the last decade or two have been pretty rough. But he said the refining, it's internal. It's a new level of refining he's doing. It's a refining of our mind. It's a refining of our heart. It's preparing us to walk in the fullness of what we've been created to walk in. This refining is internal, deeply internal, in areas many of us haven't experienced yet. But everything that we have experienced thus far has prepared us for this hour. All suffering is redemptive. When we endure affliction, submitting to God in the affliction, it's a sweet fragrance unto God. It's all beautiful. It's all precious. But what's taking place right now is deeper. Much deeper. And as it reveals those different layers, those different levels, I pray that he gives us the grace and that we have the faith to press on. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the promises in your word. I thank you for bringing forth revelation in your word. I thank you for releasing the treasures, the mysteries of your word. I thank you for giving us the grace to embrace all that you are giving us right now, all that you are giving us in this hour. And help us, Lord, to allow it to do a deep, deep work in our lives, a deep, deep cleansing, a deep, deep purification, Lord. So that when we come through this, we can walk in the fullness of what we've been created to walk in. that we can represent our Savior in a way that touches those around us. In a way that melts the hearts of those around us. In a way that allows us to be a flow, a vessel for your Spirit to flow through and impact. Bringing life, bringing restoration. I mean, we're called to bring forth reformation in our nation. But that has to start from within. So let your work be done, that we might bring forth reformation in our nation, Lord God. And I see, Lord, I see that the life that was coming was a reforming. It was a life. It was reformation. I see it now. Thank you, Lord. Prepare us to carry this call, Lord God. Prepare us, each of us, prepare us. Prepare us to let your Spirit flow through and bring forth a reformation in our land. Prepare us, Lord. That's my heart's cry. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. Thank you. Do your work in us, Lord. Your precious name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Does anyone have anything they'd like to share? Anything that the Lord has spoken to them? You know, we are growing together. And the new breed of believers that's coming out of this year that have been refined will carry the spirit of reformation. I mean, that is what he just said. And he is releasing that piece by piece to us. It's a beautiful thing. And I the things that you guys share, the things that you guys bring, the things that the Lord speaks to you are a part of that. Which is why I always open it up for you to share. So if anyone has anything that they would like to share, please, it helps us all grow together.
Ricky.
Yeah. Ken, and then John.
Yeah. Years ago, probably in the first year or two of ministry back in the mid-80s, the Lord told me, he said, just press into me and what I have need of. And he said, do whatever you need to do, because he said, you cannot believe what it's doing in the earth at the time. And even though you can't see that with your natural eyes, when we're obedient to him, we cannot believe what happens. And most of us won't know that till we're actually in heaven. We won't know the impact of what that obedience did until we're there. But it's the same kind of thing that Paul said when he said, the afflictions of this life are nothing to compare with the glory. There's a tie-in with all that. And it's just really, really amazing, because where we are even right now, even where the maturity, if we can say that, of the prophetic apostolic movement is right now in the earth, it's like you said about Fred, it's still light years. I mean, we really have not seen anything yet. And, you know, sometimes we think we're up there pretty good, but we have still not seen anything yet. And we still have so much to learn and so much to understand. And, you know, there's a scripture in I can't think of exactly where it is right now. It's in the prophets. It says, we do not know him. I mean, compared to who he is and what all he is, I mean, we'll be learning about him for eternity and still not even, probably even scratch the surface. So it's like you were saying, in this process, as we press into him, as we're obedient to what he has need of at that time, you know, we can't imagine what it accomplishes. We can't imagine what's done in and through that. And so I just want to encourage everybody with that. You know, I have to keep remembering that in my life, because you do have low times. You do have times where you just about bottom out and you wonder, you know, you actually wonder, have I ever done anything for God? Ever. You know, and you could be like me, you could be 34 years, well, it's more than 34 years, but 34 years in ministry. You could be 34 years in ministry and come to a place where you wonder, have I ever done anything for God? Because things get low, and God's still wanting you to trust him, even at that point. And a lot of times in my life, when I have those real low places, I'll go back and I'll pull prophetic words that were spoken by prophetic people. I have a notebook of prophetic words that were spoken by credible people. And I'll just when I'm so stirred up I can't really hear, you know, in this place, I'll go get those prophetic words, and I'll just begin to start reading through them. And what God was saying over me, and what God was saying about us, and about the ministry, and what we would do, and what he would do through us. And it just really enriches and brings your spirit back up, you know, in those times. You know, there's times when you read the word and you know, it's just not going anywhere. And so I'll go back and I'll do that, and it'll highly encourage me and revive me to say, okay, you know, it's just one of those times. A lot of times those times are really there to draw you even closer to him. But
that's right.
Sometime if you're down, it takes a while to see that. You know, and we do. We get down. You know, things happen and you know, we say, you know, what in the world, you know, but the Lord is there. I mean, that's just the reality of it. I mean, I've seen several people I know leave the ministry in the last couple of 3 years. I mean, people that have been in the ministry longer than me, and it broke my heart. And you know, I know that they'll sit down for a little while, And I know that God will get it. I know God is going to use them in the end times in really big ways. But, you know, because of circumstances and losses and betrayals and all those different kind of things in ministry, you know, they're like, I can't take this anymore. And they'll go sit down or they'll go do something else for a little while. And God will come back and get them. And he'll bring them back to where he had for them. But, you know, those things happen. You know, when you're in ministry, you take a lot of hits. I mean, a lot of hits. The enemy's trying to take them out. He's trying his best. He doesn't want people with pure hearts or people that, you know, have a desire to see his will done in the earth. And if that's you, you got a target on you.
That's right.
And it's getting relentless. That's why we really have to have God come in this move that you're talking about. We really do, because it is ramping up. I've never had the attack in my body. I've never had the attack against me personally and against us that we've had over this last about year and a half. It's ramping up. And we've got to have that place that we can get to where you can come into a place of peace and you're not stirred up by what's going on. It has to be. I've been talking to the Lord about that a lot lately. God, I've got to get in and I've got to get to that place where nothing affects right here. So that we just rest in him. So I just thought I'd share that. I hope that'll help somebody.
Thank you, Ken. I want to tell you that what he's talking about right there, that is entering into the maturity. Because even at his lowest, at their lowest, the attacks being so great, where's their anchor? In God. And their encouragement, they go to God. It's going back to him for the flow of life. And that is what he calls us to, so that we're not tossed in to and fro that Paul is talking about in Ephesians 4. All that we are to do is to bring us to a place of maturity so we're not tossed around. If Ken and Debbie had not allowed God to do quite a bit of refining up to this point, they would be tossed to and fro right now like children.
Sure.
But their anchor is in God, and that's where he's calling us, to have our anchor in him. So that flow of life is through him. Thank you for sharing that, Ken. I really appreciate that.
Praise
John?
God.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you. John?
Yeah. I just, in the study, it was I just really saw a better revelation of the body. You know, there are many, many, many gifts of various kinds, and many parts make up the whole. And no one can stand alone. No man is an island. Everybody is dependent upon the Lord, and he's the source. Everything comes from him. He's in all, over all, through all. And he is the only head of the body. No man is the head. Only Christ gives and provides direction to the body. And only the parts of the body that are joined to Christ are whole. And that's the goal. The goal is the whole. That's all the gifts are designed to bring us into wholeness. But, you know, gifts are just gifts. They're not anything that we can't make them our identity. We can't say that the gifts are anything that are of us, because they're not. They're just gifts that were given to us. And so there's no way that we can take anything from that other than recognizing that we are a member that has a certain gift in order to build up the body, and that the weakest, the weakest among us is the weakness of the whole, and so we need to serve and use our gift in that area, that we can build up the weak and bring them into wholeness as well too. And that's really the purpose of the whole thing, is all these three different scripture references. We're talking about the many members and, you know, coming into one and building up the body. And then in Ephesians, it, you know, talks about building us up till we all come to the unity of the faith, not unity of our faith, like Kenneth Copeland said, but unity of the faith, because there's one faith. It says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's the faith of God, the right faith. And then we, you know, are coming into the fullness. We can't compare ourselves with anybody else. We can't compare ourselves with anyone, because the comparison is only with Christ. We're coming into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. And so as we all seek this by the Spirit to come into the fullness of Christ and unity with Christ, that brings the unity of the body together. But I just really saw the importance of looking and ministering, you know, to those that are in need, you know, speaking the truth in love, you know, going at, you know, when it's not comfortable, you know, taking time to exhort, to build up, to encourage. So it was just a really good revelation of the body.
Thank you. Yeah, it really was. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, John. I appreciate that a lot. Thank you. Karen?
Unless you're teaching the Holy Spirit.
We can't hear you, Karen. You're real crackly.
She's going to disconnect and reconnect.
Okay, how about now? Still? Okay. The Holy Spirit spoke and said that Paul's life is an extreme example of how we are to walk in our callings, or when we've been called out. You know, as she was teaching, how we saw that Paul, when he was in prison, he didn't succumb to his physical environment. He continued to be, he stayed focused on the call on his life. The love for the lost, getting the truth out to the Jews and the Gentiles. He continued to send out his letters and save those around him. And the Lord is calling us to that same walk, no matter what prison. We can be in a physical prison or a spiritual prison. And he's saying, no matter where you are, I want you to stay focused on me. And I want you to continue to reach the people. Because what he is wanting to do in us is to bring us into that secret place, that place of mystery, that place of wholeness and healing, that place of faithfulness, but not to be so blinded by what our prisons are, but just to be, but to walk in that way like Paul did. When he said extreme example, it's like, you know, someone will hear what Paul did and they would say, that's a little extreme, don't you think? And we need to say, yes, it was. Because our God is extreme. He's extreme in wanting to save our nation, save our people, save the lost, open up the blinded eyes and stop the deaf ears. This is extreme, but this is salvation. This is the message of love. This is the message of being called out and walking in this calling. This was rich. This was a rich teaching, rich lesson. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Seth, for sharing.
Ricky, this is Lynn.
Yeah. Hi.
in all those scriptures that I was reading, Karen hit it on the right on the nail. And I was like, in everything, it's love. Our gifts are nothing without love. We can't flow in them without love. And if we don't have the love for one another, then we pervert the gift and the body doesn't flow. It has to flow out of love. And if we're not flowing in Him, just like that river, we've got to flow in Him and with Him and through Him, or it's no good. We get ourselves in the way in our thinking. And so lately I was like, God, I just need to be. I need to be. I need to live in that place. And constantly diverting my eyes from the things that I see to You. And no matter what I hear, no matter what I go through, no matter what challenges I'm faced with, You said it, Ricky, it's all nothing. Paul said it's all nothing.
Yeah.
So we have to come to a place of nothingness in which He can do everything and then allow Him to flow through us. I had an experience this week, and I think it was all related. And I went to a healing service. It was a special service. Actually, it was called a revival because it had been going on for days. But in it all, I saw the most incredible healing. It was an old Iranian man whose caretakers brought him. This was a very small meeting. And he came up to the minister that was ministering, and he couldn't talk. He looked very dazed. He couldn't walk. And by the time a few minutes went by, he was walking. His chair was no longer there. His arm stabilization things were no longer there. He even got so bold as to get up on the stage, and he looked at the minister in the eye, and the minister said, God is healing the mind. It was dementia. And he began to speak, and he said, I just love God, and I had the faith to come in here to be healed today. And his caretakers were weeping and weeping and weeping. And I just thought, this is the most incredibly beautiful thing I have seen in so long. And I went home with all this faith. But you know what? I was attacked. A spirit of fear came in my room, and I don't know where it came from, but I woke up the next day, and I was telling Patricia, I felt empty, hopeless. But these things, they were feelings on the outside. So I did what I only knew how to do and spent the whole day just alone, saying nothing and being with Him. And by that time, I had everything came. It was like He completely filled me back. And I don't mean to belabor this, but this is important. There was a lady that came yesterday for help to us, and so we were sitting with her and her son, and I was looking at the brokenness, and the Lord just began to break me. And I looked at her, and she looked at me, and she said, 50 years of marriage, I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And she began to cry. But you know what? We didn't say a word to her. I didn't tell her Jesus loves her. I didn't tell her anything. It was just allowing the Spirit of God to manifest Himself to her and her son. And in the process of all that, they were receiving healing.
Wow.
It's the most incredible place. And it's like it isn't. It's allowing God to move through us without even saying anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that minister that ministered to this guy, he didn't say, oh, you're healed in the name of Jesus. Or he didn't do all this stuff. He just stood by him. He didn't even say anything. He was just saying, he just, the only word he said was, walk with me.
Wow.
And the guy by faith started walking. There was so much faith in the room. It was just an incredible experience. There was no big word preached. It was Jesus.
Amen.
People were being, yeah, I mean, beautiful. It was just Jesus. And I beautiful. Guess that's what what I received out of this whole thing was, it is time that we cannot walk apart from him. We cannot walk our day out without him. We cannot do anything unless he's there doing it through us. And it's got to be him, his will, and his purpose, and his plan every time we even make a step. It's just,
right.
I'm just so, wow. And like John was saying, it's like it all comes together. The from the head, where the living stones all have a part, all have distributed gifts within us, but unless that love is flowing down from the head through the body, we become dysfunctional, disjointed. And love is no longer flowing. And people can't see love. They need love. The brokenness of situations I've had in the last 3 days, of which I can't solve, I don't have anything in me to give them, but only by Christ. I had a 30-year-old girl look me in the eye and said, if I have another crisis, I'm not going to make it. She was completely broken. And all I could do was weep over her and weep over her and weep over her. And she looked me in the eye and she began to smile and she said, I haven't had human interaction and I can't tell you when. It was just Christ.
Yeah.
I decided to get out of the way. It's beautiful.
It really is.
Yes.
It really is.
Amen.
It's got to be love. And his love has got to flow through us, or our gifts are nothing. Our ministry is nothing. All that we have is nothing. Unless it's him and all of who he is in all of who we are.
That's right.
Amen.
That's absolutely right. Thank you.
This message has just been incredible.
Praise God.
Ricky.
Praise God. Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot to say at the end, that's what, this is what we've been doing on the call, on the staff calls for, years. We've been ministering to one another, ministering love and serving and, praying for each other, with each other, and, growing up with each other.
Yeah. That's true. That's really true. It's been a beautiful journey, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying it's been perfect. I'm not saying it hasn't been painful, because it's painful when we weep for one another because we love each other so much.
Amen.
But it has been beautiful to grow with you guys. And it's an honor to walk with you. It really is.
The feeling is mutual.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't think that,
and we all benefit because the body is being built up. Every time somebody, like when Lynn was just sharing about what was happening with her, it was just, she's part of the body, and it's just like, you know, I can just take joy in that. And it's such a blessing just to hear her share about what God is doing in her and through her. And, you know, that's just life. It's just life.
Yes, that's good.
That's right. That's how it is. Okay. Is there anyone else that would love to share? Okay. Then I release you to your day. I want to thank you for sticking it out. I know this time together is long, but I just believe God is training us, and it's important that we stick it out. So I thank you for doing so. Next week, we will do all of the next lesson. Almost 2 days is taken up in commentaries and such. So it's just the last part of this chapter that we'll be studying. And I think we can do it in the time, in a week. So it's just not a lot. It's a really, really short week. So I think we can do it. Anyway, all right, guys, I love you. I bless you. And we'll see you tomorrow. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you all.
Love you.
Thank you and bless you all.
Thank you. I love you.